Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Well, good morning. Good morning. I'm almost tempted, Jerry, to talk about politics today. Holy cow.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg died?
My goodness. Is the battle going to rage on or what? But anyway, we don't have to. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll do our best to...
To do what?
Medicine.
Medicine.
That's right.
What an idea. Okay.
But right now, we do not have Dr. Umat with us today.
Nope.
It's just you.
Yep.
And me. You to answer questions.
And you to keep us on the air.
And, well, I'll try.
All right.
Keep us on the straight and narrow. And keeping you on the straight and narrow
that is
can't be a job.
Foolish and...
Why I keep asking for a raise. I mean,
right,
come on.
Okay, neither of those are going to happen. Hey, I'm not staying on the straight and narrow, and you're not getting a raise. So either way.
Oh, brother. All right. If you have a question today for Dr. Mixon, all you have to do is give us a call at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. All the lines are open right now, all of them. So you call now. We will get you on first. And then second, third, and fourth, 800-465-8770. Okay, let's start off by talking about the virus.
All right. It's still here.
So I'm told.
Yes, it has not changed appreciably. Here in Washington State, we're losing about 6 people a day.
Down from?
Down from 27 a day at its peak.
Okay.
We've actually got as many infections as we had at the peak of the deaths. The difference is they tend to be younger. In early days, the average age of infection was 61. It's now 30.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and so that has cut the death rate dramatically because younger people don't die from it.
Right.
Still, 50% of our deaths, that is 3 of those 6 people each day, are nursing home patients. So... Less than 1%. 0.6% of the American population resides in the nursing homes. But an average of 50% of the people who die are from nursing homes.
Wow.
And in some states, it's over 70%.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about the vaccines coming available. We've got several of them, 3 or 4 of them now in phase 3 trials. That should finish up somewhere in October, November, or December. They're staged. They didn't all start at the same time, and they're different sizes, so they'll come in at different times. But the first one will probably come in late October to the first week of November. Those companies have all signed contracts with the federal government for more than $1 billion each, to allow them to start making the vaccine even before it's approved.
Interesting.
Okay, so that means they were willing to take the risk because they've already got a contract.
Right.
They've got taxpayer money.
Right.
And so they're actually starting manufacturing. They're in the middle of manufacturing now.
So the risk is on the government, not
the risk
on
is on the taxpayers.
Yeah.
Yes, those of us who pay taxes. That 51% of Americans who actually pay income tax, the other 49% have no risk. But yes, that half of us that pay taxes, the risk is on us. But so is the benefit is on everybody.
Right.
the goal is on the day of approval for each of those companies to have 100 million doses available on the day of approval.
Wow.
Okay. So between the three or four companies, that would be 400 million doses. The downside is two of those four companies require two doses per person to get full effect of the vaccine.
All right.
Okay. So 50 million effective vaccinations for two of the companies. But let's run the numbers, okay? Half of all the people who die are in nursing homes. That's less than 2 million people. If we just vaccinated people in nursing homes, we cut our deaths by 50%.
Wow.
And that only takes two million doses. And there's 100 million doses available right up front from each of the four companies the day they get approved.
That's right.
All right. So if we just vaccinated everybody over 65, that's 52 million Americans. Okay. 15.2% of our population is 65. If we just vaccinate everybody over 65, we cut the death rate by 93%.
My goodness.
So you don't need to vaccinate everybody.
Right.
Just vaccinating 50 million Americans out of the 330 million. Okay. Vaccinate 50 million of the 330 million. You cut the death rate by 93%.
That's impressive. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, people are saying, well, it's going to be April or May before we get everybody vaccinated. Yes, before we get everybody vaccinated. But if in the first month we vaccinated everybody over 65, 15% of the population, we cut the death rate by 93%. Hey, problem is pretty much solved.
Yeah, indeed it is.
You know, so you don't have to shoot for herd immunity. What you have to do is vaccinate the high-risk people.
Right.
And if, in addition, if that 50 million people that are over 65, and then you add to that diabetics and morbidly obese, you now knocked our death rate down by 99%.
Interesting.
Almost nobody dies. More people die falling down the stairs than would die from COVID. if we just vaccinated...
I'll be
those,
careful.
Those three risk groups.
Then. Okay.
Over 65, diabetics, and morbidly obese. Problem solved. We actually would have enough vaccine in the first month to do that.
Boy, that is encouraging.
Yeah. Now, shall I give you the downside?
I'd love to hear it. Or do I want to hear it?
Bureaucrats and regulation. The FDA can do an emergency authorization for use. But the emergency authorization by law cannot be for universal use. It can only be for people that are at extremely high risk.
By whose definition?
That's the question. By whose definition? What the meaning of is, as Mr. Clinton so cogently taught us,
okay,
is what matters. How do we define high risk? Okay. And so the emergency declaration will not permit them to immunize everybody. And that's why Fauci and Redmond are saying April or May. It'll take that long to get the bureaucrats to approve it for everybody. Because some people are low risk. Okay. Children, their statistical risk of dying, if you're under 12 years old, statistical risk is essentially zero. You can't define a kid at high risk if he has virtually no chance of dying.
Sure.
His chance of dying of COVID is lower than the flu. So my year-old daughter cannot be high risk. So there's no way on earth to stretch that definition for emergency approval for my daughter. Me at 73, sure, you can say I'm high risk. We can say you're high risk. Okay. Morbid obesity, diabetes, kidney failure, yes. So it all depends on what the definition is. Now, Mr. Trump is pushing to make that definition as expansive as possible, obviously. The anti-Trump faction is saying we want to keep it as tightly narrow as possible because, frankly, we want people dying until after the election. We don't want people to be encouraged. We want them to say, no, 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 it's going to be at least another year before you can be safe. But the reality is we don't have to vaccinate everybody. Yeah. Vaccinate less than 100 million people, less than a third. In fact, vaccinate 25% of the population, we can cut our risk by 99%.
Very impressive. Very encouraging. See? Holy moly.
Just got to run the numbers.
That's right. Interesting. Wow. Wow. That's very encouraging. Well, we've made it thus far.
Yes, we have.
So we just need to keep being careful and wise, and that would be encouraging. Okay. So maybe by the election.
Well, maybe the first emergency approval by the election.
Yeah.
But then you got to distribute it. People actually have to show up and get their shots and yada, yada. And, you know, and you have to prove you're in one of the high risk groups. And again, we don't know how they're going to define high risk.
Okay.
That's the key.
Well, you just made a statement that I'm sure some people took note of, that politically, it does seem pretty obvious that one party wants to delay things until
after the election. Sure.
And they want to do that for political reasons. Well, they don't even really make any bones about
it. No, and if their guy gets elected, then he wants to claim credit for saving America from the virus.
Yeah.
You know, and that's both parties. I mean, the Republicans want credit for saving the country, and the Democrats want credit for saving the country. And both will tell whatever lies and spin the truth in whatever way they can to do it. Remember Dr. Mixon's somewhat jaded view of politics.
Let's hear it.
People who want to run their own lives stay home and do so. People who want to run other people's lives seek public office. The left wants to run my life in one way. The right wants to run my life in another way. What they all have in common is a belief that they are better qualified to run my life than I am, and I disagree. Pretty simple.
I agree with you. I agree with you. All right. Well, again, your questions for Dr. Mixon do not have to be about the virus, even though we haven't had that many calls lately.
No, I think people have accommodated to the fact that it's a fact of life. You know, you wear your mask when you go in the grocery store.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, one of the arguments, if we lived in a state in which we still had secret ballots, which we don't in Washington, of course, because we have mail-in and they have to identify who you are by comparing your signature and they see how you're voting. So there is no secret ballot in Washington anymore. So for us, it doesn't really matter. But in those states that have secret ballots, where people can actually stand behind a curtain where no one can see them and cast a private vote, I like the argument that if I can wear a mask and go to the grocery store three times a week, I can wear a mask and go vote once every 4 years.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Well, again, it would be real easy to get into politics on this topic as well. But we won't. That's okay. If you're tempted, just try to control yourself. So there we go.
You know, I'm not famous for self-control. All
right. So with that in mind, let me give out the number one more time. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to the break 1 minute early. And we'll do that because I've got a couple of callers here. Bob from Woodinville has a question, says he's seen a rheumatologist. Well, let's find out why. And then Michelle has a question about metabolism. And you, I know you have a question. And we've got two lines open right now, so why don't you call 800-465-8770. And we're taking questions as soon as we come back. Welcome back. You're listening. If you just happen to be driving down the road or you just got up and you tuned in and you're asking, what the heck is this? You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine.
And we're going to actually talk about medicine as soon people start calling.
Well, they have. I've got several calls here for you. Leading Edge Medicine, this program is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinic. We've got three clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. And you just keep listening. I think you're going to enjoy what you hear. In the meantime, we've got one line open, so let's fill it and start taking calls at 800-465-8770. Let's go to Bob in Woodinville. Bob, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bob.
Oh. Hi, Jerry.
How can we help?
I'm looking at your 10-year-old toy schnauzer I'm waiting for you.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you what. I'll take that schnauzer if you give me his weight in diamonds.
She's 10 pounds, so it's not too much. Right. Anyway, she misses you dearly. There's a picture of you on the wall, and she stares and wonders why. Okay.
By the way, this is
what are you talking about? I'm trying to figure this out.
This is a private joke. Bob is a diamond merchant.
Okay.
He imports diamonds to the United States.
All right. I need to get to know Bob.
And yes. And he also, in fact, he sold me the diamond for my wife's engagement ring.
Okay.
But he also raises these cute little dogs.
Oh, okay.
And he's always trying to pawn off one of those dogs on me.
Okay.
But
you just
I don't raise dogs.
But I just got a cat.
I don't raise a dog. I bought a dog back 10 years ago, and I called Jerry. I was just teasing him, and he said it was somebody sending him a toy schnauzer, and Jerry,
that's right.
You should hear the recording sometime.
Yeah.
For some reason, that voicemail never got erased on my phone. It's
still there for blackmail purposes. I understand. All right.
I know.
How can we help you, Bob?
Bob, anyway, what's up? How can I help?
Well, you know, Jerry, I've been in a couple of car wrecks, and one that was real bad. We talked about that time. Anyway, I've had the aside from the car wrecks, I've had the problem with my spine, the degenerative disc disease, and. It's gotten so bad, you know. I've always had a hard time with it. I've got to the point now where I can barely get any sleep. So it's just, you know, always aching, okay? Always hurting. And obviously, when I'm up and awake and running around, it's a lot easier on me. Anyway, as I read on the internet about various symptoms, I thought I'd try a rheumatologist since I can't get my regular physician take it very seriously. So, I mean, I'm at the point where I'm about to start drinking bottles of tequila just to numb the pain.
All right. Well, poisoning your liver is not going to help the degenerative joint and bone disease. So let's see if we can avoid that one, shall we? Okay. So the question, of course, is, you know, what can the rheumatologist offer? Rheumatologists can offer you medications that will decrease the inflammatory process going on and knock down some of the autoimmune processes that are happening to slow the degeneration. It's not going to undo the mechanical damage of your auto accidents, Bob. It's just, those are problems that your body will either repair or won't. And since it has been umpteen years now, obviously the answer is your body is not repairing them worth a hoot. So the question is, how do we decrease the inflammation? How do we decrease your pain perception and make you as functional as possible? It does not hurt to go see what the rheumatologist has to offer. You know, he is the expert in his field. I am not. So I think, you know, if you've already made such an appointment, please keep it and see what he has to say. My suspicion is about the best he's going to be able to do for you is to use one of the new immunomodulating drugs. They tend to be a little pricey. And in your situation, I don't honestly think they're going to be terribly effective. If you had rheumatoid arthritis, I'd say yes, but with your particular situation and most of the thing being trauma related, I think it's going to be kind of iffy. But, you know, it would probably be worth a try. Give it a few months and see.
Is this something Dan Nelson could potentially be of help with?
Maybe.
Well, that's the question I had for you.
Yeah, I'm familiar enough with Bob's situation. You know, he's got multiple levels, lots of areas that hurt. But Dan might be of, because we are looking at really here a chronic pain situation.
Right.
He's been in pain for years, and if something's not done, we'll be in pain forever. So Dan Nelson is a great place to start. I like that better than the rheumatologist. You've got so many areas that hurt, he probably can't address them all, at least not immediately. But if he picked the worst two or three and addressed those and got you significant relief at the worst places, that might be, you know, a big improvement in your lifestyle, Bob.
Yeah, that's a question actually I was headed towards, because I've heard the ads regarding even spine issues, and I just had an appointment with my OD, who is my regular physician, and of course, you know, he foo-foos the whole idea of stem cells and blah, 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 so it's becoming one of those things where you don't know what to do. The symptoms sound like AS is what someone suggested, that, you know, that's my issue, and so that's why I made the appointment with the rheumatologist.
Okay. Well, you got to remember that Dan is a pain specialist, not a rheumatologist, although he works at a clinic with all kinds of subspecialty guys.
Yep.
So I'd say go ahead, you know, get a consult with a rheumatologist is fine, but take that consult also over to Dr. Nelson. Let him take a look and see what the rheumatologist found and suggested, and get a different point of view and see how the two of them approach it, and which one you decide to give a try first.
Well, I'll try anything, Jerry. I'm at that point where...
Yeah, well, either one of these is better than vodka, I promise.
No, he wanted tequila.
Or tequila. Well, either one of these is better than tequila. All right.
Your baby is saying hello to you, by the way.
Oh,
okay.
Listen, hey, Bob, let me give you the phone number. It'll make it easier for you. Here's the phone number for Dr. Dan Nelson. He's with Pro Ortho, by the way, in their Totem Lake facility. I think they've got about 17 or 18 doctors, surgeons, what have you there. Dr. Dan Nelson, 425-823-4000. And again, that's 425-823-4000. I am imagining a number of people throughout the Puget Sound area are writing that number down now. And just one comment. Dan Nelson, yes, he does stem cells, but that is probably only about a third or a fourth or fifth of what he does. He's a pain specialist.
His specialty is decreasing pain.
That's right.
So.
And that's who you want to see. He has a lot. He likes to say he has a lot of tools in his toolbox. He has lots of options. He's also one of the nicest guys on the planet. And you'll
wait
get
a minute.
Along.
I thought I was. All right.
That's whatever helped you sleep through the night, Jerry. Anyway, you're right. Anyway, give him a call, Dr. Dan Nelson, 425-823-4000. I predict you will be glad you gave him a call, and others too. Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Michelle. And Michelle, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Michelle.
Yes, good morning. I am a woman in my early 50s. I'm in menopause already. And I would like to know, how can I shift my estrogen metabolism? Estrone towards estradiol, because when I had my fractional estrogens done, I had way too much estrone and not enough estradiol. So I would like to know how to encourage my body to shift this metabolism towards estradiol. I did have my blood drawn day 12.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's my primary question.
All right. Okay, well, let me chat a little bit about estrogen metabolism in perimenopausal women, which is where you are, early 50s. Young women, that is women under about 25, have very high estradiol production by their ovaries. And I guess I ought to preface this. Estrogen is not a hormone. Estrogen is a class of hormones. And there are dozens of estrogens in this world. The primary hormone made by humans in their, you know, woman's ovaries is estradiol. Estradiol then circulates into the bloodstream, and about two-thirds of it is converted to an estrone in the liver. And there are several different estrones. Some of those estrones predispose women towards breast cancer. Other estrones predispose them to not get breast cancer, that are more protective. So which estrone your liver is making is an important thing to find out. And that's why we do these fractional studies to see what you're doing. There is another class of estrogens called estriol. And estriol is found in women in very high levels during pregnancy, but then it declines thereafter and is not really high levels in menopause. So what this patient's wanting to know is, how does she shift back to estradiol, the young women's hormone? There isn't a good way to rejuvenate your ovaries and have them start kicking out estradiol again. What we're basically facing is, as your estradiol levels started dropping in your early 40s, and by the time you hit menopause, you were down about 50%. And that percentage reduction of estradiol changes these types of estrogen receptors in your body. And as you're changing from estradiol A receptors to B receptors, you started noticing a shift in the way your weight was distributed. You started putting on more central fat, more fat in your belly. And that's a male pattern, because postmenopausal women have the same types of estrogen receptors that we men have from birth on. So the trick is to shift your estrogen receptor pattern back towards the youthful level, and to raise your estradiol level. And we can do that with selective supplementation, depending on which estrogens we give you. And also by altering your liver metabolism with supplements, things like diindolyl methane, that will help shift your estrogen metabolism towards the safer forms of estrones that you are going to be making just because you are a woman in your 50s. So I can't make you 20, but I can shift the balance of estrogens in your bloodstream back towards a more youthful level. But it's not going to be done by causing your ovaries to suddenly become youthful and start producing them again. The ovaries are basically just worn out at your age. You know, your estrogen right. production, your progesterone production are both very low compared to where you were as a young woman. Although it should be noted that a woman doesn't really stop making estrogens from her ovaries until she's in her mid-70s. So, anyway.
Okay. Is there ideal ratio of E1 to E2 that I should be striving to if I do figure how to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are ratios that we look at. And the ideals depend on what it is you're trying to accomplish. Okay. You want estradiol, the E2, to be at least 35 or 40% of the total estrogens in your system. That's a youthful pattern. About two-thirds of it is going to be an estrone of some sort. And then the question is, of those estrones, which are 16-alpha and which are 4-hydroxys? And it's that ratio that we work the hardest to shift around, because that's what's going to determine your risk of breast cancer.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. So there are supplements that I can encourage this shift.
Yes, they will shift which forms of estrones you make. but not what that will shift you back towards estradiol. Okay, your estradiol level is dependent on your aromatase levels and the activity of your ovaries.
Michelle, what I'll tell you what.
Yes.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just had a brief question about testosterone for a woman in early 50s. Where should I be striving to be for a reasonable quality of life?
Okay. That's going to, it's once more, we're looking at estrogen to testosterone ratios. Okay. I like to try to get a free testosterone somewhere over 5, probably 7 to 10 nanograms per deciliter. But you have to have enough estradiol to balance that. If your estradiol levels are too low and we move your testosterone up that high, then we start worrying about acne, increased hair formation on your face and your chest and so on. If we have enough estradiol on board, we can push those testosterone levels much higher, give you better strength, endurance, shift your metabolism towards muscle and away from fat, lower your risk of breast cancer, improve your mood, your stress tolerance. But all of that requires that we have to have a high enough estradiol to provide balance to that higher testosterone.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you,
Michelle, you keep listening, Michelle. Keep listening, because when we come back, I'm going to confess something.
Uh-oh.
I didn't quite understand everything you just shared. And I've been listening to you for 22 years. But I want to make a point.
I got a little too deep in the weeds.
No, she asked a question. You answered it. That's what you're supposed to do. I totally approve. And but I suggest that we need to talk about this just a hair more.
Okay.
And let's do that when we come back. Hey, welcome back. Pete Talbot here. With me in the studio, Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder and chief medical officer, for obvious reasons, at Longevity Medical Clinic. And again, if you're new to this program, you just tuned in or recently have been, Longevity Medical Clinic, we have three clinics actually throughout the Puget Sound area to make it easy for everybody: Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. So there you go. No excuse. But Michelle had some great questions. I mean, here she was, I think, mid-late 50s, I think she said. She had a lot of questions about breast cancer, estrogens, testosterone. And you probably did a beautiful, gave a great answer, but might have been just a little confusing. And this is why longevity exists. People are not getting these types of questions answered from their primary care physician. They're just not.
Steroid hormone metabolism is complex. And, you know, testosterone turns into estradiol, which turns into a variety of estrones, which can end up at the terminal estrogen, estriols. And they all interact. And they interact with progesterone and pregnenolone and dehydroepiandrosterone and the cortisol levels. The thing that worries me about a caller like her is she is obviously trying to understand how to handle this very complex thing of steroid metabolism on her own.
Very impressive.
Or to guide her physician in doing so.
You know darn well that's what she's doing.
And the problem, of course, is if your doctor doesn't really understand this well, you've got the wrong doctor, and there's no way on earth the patient can do a good enough job of educating the physician to have that doctor then give them good results with minimal risk. And there is risk. Everything we do in medicine involves risk. It's my first rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There are downsides to absolutely every decision we make. Whether to treat or not to treat, treat with this, treat with that, treat with this dose or that dose. The trick, the goal of the physician is to provide as many benefits as possible, balance against as few risks as practical, recognizing that some risk will always exist. And this takes, in this area, this takes a doctor that really understands the metabolism and understands the interactions and the interconversion of one hormone to another within the system, which is why longevity physicians are uniquely skilled and qualified to do this job.
And this is why, I don't know how many, we ought to track it if we can somehow. This is why we have so many doctors as patients.
Yes.
We have naturopaths as patients, MDs, surgeons, gynecologists,
yes,
orthopedists,
ophthalmologists,
you name it.
Yeah. We have a lot of physicians as patients.
And smart people.
Yes, and many of those physicians come to see us because they recognize the complexity of what it is we do, and it isn't their field. And so, you know, they, just as we go to them for their fields of study, they come to us for ours.
For 22 years almost on this program, I have heard hundreds, many, many hundreds of people basically do what you just said this woman was doing, Michelle, is trying to educate herself, which is very smart, very impressive, but trying to then take the information to the doctors,
and,
her doctors.
And be able to tell the doctor what she wants done for herself.
And it's so frustrating. And so this is why I get to step in and be a hero today. Today I'm a real hero. And this is very good news. Everybody knows that we've been making available free health analysis appointments for a year and a half, or 2 years now. And we don't do many seminars anymore. We just realize, hey, enough people listen to this program. They understand the basics. And so you're just talking about the principles of if you don't measure, you don't know. So we do the free health analysis appointment. So I get to be a hero because over the last, especially the last 6 months, we have been so busy. There's just not been too many free health analysis appointments. And we haven't known what to do about it. We're growing. We're adding staff. In fact, by the way, we're looking for more staff in case anybody would like to come to work for us here at Longevity Medical Clinics. I'll talk about that later. But here's the good news. We opened up, as of yesterday, we opened up through October 16th, I believe.
Yeah, mid-October at least.
Yeah, mid-October. And we have like 15 or almost 15 appointments in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. Okay. So you get the free appointment. You get two free tests. You get the blood test. You also get, the special in-body test. And it's just very exciting. That's the first step. The first step to solving a problem is defining the problem. And so that's what we do for you free. So I get the good news of telling you, okay, instead of there just being a handful, four here, two there, and then boom, they're gone by practically the end of the show. We have a nice batch of them. They're available now on a first come, first served basis. Obviously, the sooner you schedule, the better selection you'll have. That's, I guess that's one of the reason why you ought to go right away, because there'll be more to select from. So you just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and it's very easy to do. Right in the middle of the page, you click the button that says schedule your appointment, and boom, it's doable. It's done. It's very easy to do. One thing that we started is, and this is, we're still doing it, at least through October, is for coming in, you also get $100 of free longevity supplements, or now we're giving you a choice, or you can get our two fitness books along with our fitness bands, so you can do a lot of exercising and stuff at home. Really cool. So you not only get the two free tests, but you get to choose between $100 of longevity supplements or the two fitness books, which we've written, by the way. Actually, Dr. Mixon has written. And the fitness bands. Your choice. Just for coming in. A little teaser. And so that's the good news. Again, simply go to lmclinic.com and make your own appointment. And there you go. I suggest you do it now. Let's go to Chehalis and talk to Pete. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Dr. Mixon, king of the blood test, man, and I have questions in regards to that. Okay, back in February of 2019, I got a wake-up call in regards to my blood glucose because not that my resting blood glucose was high, but my A1C was 6.5. So I promptly, and at that time also they did a fasting insulin, it was 13. I went on a, tried to go on a strict low-carb diet. 6 months later, the A1C went down to 5.8. Insulin was still not going down too much. It was at 11. The lipid profile was, I've never had a good lipid profile. But anyway, after that, I was going to come back in 6 months in February 2020, but because of this COVID thing, I wasn't able to. So finally, I was able to go to a doctor and get some blood work done. In the between time, I would say starting in, either November or January, November of last year or January of this year, I started more, I won't say it was an intense exercise, but for my life, a more consistent exercise where I'd be on the treadmill for, close to an hour. And I do that by watching an old TV program, just gets my mind off it. And
sure.
Anyway, I'm 66 years old.
Okay.
So here's the upshot on this last blood test. The lipid profile, which still isn't wonderful, has improved. My VLDL, which normally is in the higher range, above normal, went down finally into the normal. It's 34. I know that's not wonderful, but it's better than being above 40.
Yes.
My HDL improved to finally getting into the normal range. It went into 40, which isn't wonderful, but it's still better than it was.
Yes.
The thing that impressed me though, and I'm just wondering, am I in a transition phase? My fasting insulin, which a year ago previous was 11, went down to 5.
Good.
And so I'm wondering, am I in some sort of transition? Am I starting to become more insulin sensitive to in my cells, or is it just that at my age is my insulin levels going down because my pancreas is kind of wearing out?
Well, I hope it's not the latter. If it were the latter, I would expect your A1C to be rising instead of dropping.
My my A1C was a disappointment because it did not change. It stayed at 5.8.
Okay.
This time.
5.8 still puts you in the pre-diabetic range as opposed to overtly diabetic. Still, pre-diabetes is better than overt diabetes. So you've made progress. Now, when we do our evaluations, we do check your fasting insulin, but we also check your peak insulin. We give people usually 75 grams of glucose orally, and 30 minutes later, when they're at their peak, we check both their serum glucose and their insulin. Because the question is, how high is your glucose going to be, and how much insulin did you have to produce to control that at that range? And that gives me a very good idea of how much insulin resistance you've got. Okay. In other words, two guys may have the same sugar. Let's say one person peaks their glucose at 155, but he has to produce an insulin of 150 to keep it there. The other guy has a glucose of 155, but his insulin only peaked at 40 to keep it there. This tells me that while they both have the same average blood sugar, the amount of insulin that has to be produced to keep it there is very different, okay? The first person has a lot of insulin resistance. The second person, not so much, all right? The other question, of course, is how much insulin do they produce? If your pancreas is wearing out, which is possible, then what we would find is your peak sugar will go very high and your insulin will not go high because you're not capable of producing enough insulin. So knowing what your pancreas can do in response to the sugar load and knowing how much resistance you've got to that insulin are two very critical components. And that's why we do fasting insulin, fasting sugars, peak sugars, and A1Cs, which give me average sugars. Okay. So in your situation, I don't have enough information to give you as much feedback as I'd like to. But, well, we have this little break coming up. I'm going to ask him to put you on hold for a minute. I do want to talk to you a little bit more at the other side of this break.
All right.
So I'll be right back.
Hang on, Pete. We're putting you on hold. We're going to do a quick break, and we'll be back. Okay, that was fast. We're back. Leading Edge Medicine, sponsored, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinic. We've got Pete on the line. And, Jerry, why don't you just pick it up from there?
Pete, here's what I kind of want to push you for a little bit. You're making good efforts, and I applaud that. And your efforts are paying off to some extent. That's great, too. You're not making as much progress as I'd like you to make. I would love it if we could get that A1C down around 5.2 or 5.3. But you're missing some of the components. Okay. If you were one of our patients, we'd be looking at your dehydroepiandrosterone and your testosterone and your estradiol levels. Those three hormones are critically important. It turns out that the DHEA and testosterone tend to improve glucose metabolism in your muscles dramatically. And muscle burns sugar even while you're sleeping. So I want you to make as much muscle as possible. And so obviously raising the anabolic hormone load, you know, a man in his 60s is going to have pretty modest levels. Getting you back to the levels of a 30-year-old will allow you to make a lot more muscle, and that muscle will burn your glucose even while you're sleeping and bring those average sugars down significantly. The other thing we often use in men in your age is a PDE5 inhibitor. These are things like tadalafil, Viagra, and so on. Not so much for erectile function, although obviously that does put a lot more fun in your sex life. But more importantly, from this standpoint, it improves blood flow to your muscles and your brain and your heart and allows you to improve your exercise tolerance significantly and allows you, again, to get stronger and faster and leaner and mentally sharper, which is very important for men in their 60s. And so if we can do that, if we can adjust your estradiol levels so that you are not dissolving your bones too fast, if we can get your anabolic hormone load up so that you are capable of making more lean body mass, if we can dilate your blood vessels so that your heart, your lungs, your brain, and all of your muscles are functioning better, we can probably bring those sugars significantly lower and make you feel a whole lot better.
Yeah, I know. I need to become a patient here. That's for sure. Can I just ask you one quick thing? This
Real
is just an adjunct.
Sure.
Magnesium levels were high in my blood. It was 25. I think the top level is 23. The guy said, well, just quit taking your magnesium supplements. So do you run across high magnesium much?
Once in a while. We actually come across borderline low more often than we do high. Yeah, and especially if guys are getting leg and foot cramps at night when they go to bed, we want to kick their magnesium up. But, you know, if you're not having any symptoms from it, I'm not terribly worried.
And okay, with that, we got to go, Pete, but keep listening because this show is made for you, pal. This is good. I'm glad you called. In fact, that really does make the point. So many people, like Michelle earlier and others for the last 22 years, they need this extra counsel.
Yeah.
We are designed, we want people to have their primary care physicians.
We do.
In fact, we almost insist, don't we?
We do. We strongly request everyone not only have a primary care doctor, to see them regularly
yeah.
and to send us their annual reports. I want the mammograms and the pap smears off the ladies. I want the, you know, the studies that the guys have had their physicals. Absolutely. You know, we supplement. We don't supplant. We don't replace your right. primary care doctor. We're a specialty clinic. You know, you don't go to your eye doctor and expect him to take care of your heart, right?
Right.
You don't come to us and expect us to take care of your primary care. We don't do that. So, but our job is to make every man and woman stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier. And in the process, lower the risk of heart attacks, lower the risk of strokes, lower the risk of dementia, lower the risk of cancer. I want them to have the most robust, joy-filled life as humanly possible, as long in life as possible. That's our goal.
And it's kind of interesting. We love working with doctors. They, more and more doctors are starting to realize that, their patients need us.
Yes.
But it's still a little bit different.
But you know, it's fascinating though. The physicians that come to us as patients are great patients.
Oh yes, they are.
Because these are doctors that have a much wider body of knowledge than the average person, obviously.
That's right.
And we only have to kind of tweak and supplement and add to their skill set a bit. And so our doctor patients tend to do wonderful.
So let me just point out, one of the comments that we get all the time is that our patients love having a coach instead of what they think a doctor should be. The truth is, the average primary care physician in America today sees over 40 patients a day, 41 last year anyway. And there's just not time to do the teaching, the coaching. Look at all the stuff that you go through right here on the program. Doctors don't have time to even do what you do here.
No. And I always try to make it clear, I am not critical of the physicians. You know, doctors are rushing from room to room to room, not because they want to rush from room
that's
to room.
That's right. That's true.
Because that's the system that they have been grafted into, usually against their will. There are very few happy doctors left in America.
That's why so many are retiring early.
Yes.
It's scary, the
doctors
numbers.
Do not want to spend 7, 8, 9 minutes per patient. They want to take the time, but they're in a, basically in a factory system. Doctors are no longer independent physicians. They're now employees, and they're judged on their productivity. And productivity says, how many bodies do you run through, and how much revenue do each of those bodies produce? I.e., how many tests get done? How many imaging studies get done? How many procedures get done? And if your numbers don't stack up to your colleagues, you don't get your pay raise or your bonus.
That's right. And so it's a good way. We've got to go to a break. Actually, it's the top of the hour. Station ID. It's something legally we just got to do, but it's only about a 15-second break. So don't go far. We're going to come right back and take more calls and give out some more answers. If you would like one of those free health analysis appointments, for goodness sakes, this is a good time to make one. We also give you your choice of $100 of free longevity supplements or our two fitness books and the fitness bands. Your choice. Of course, along with the two free tests, the blood test and also the special in-body test. A free health analysis appointment. You can go to lmclinic.com and make yours right now. Hey, we'll be back before you know it. 15 seconds.